We're good to go? Okay. I figure that maybe this time we'll try to get a little bit more inside and see the style a little bit of how things were written and kind of get a little more of a taste of where I kind of give you tidbits, little highlights. Then maybe we'll be a little bit deeper if we see it where the sources are. There is just a little background on the Sefer Tuva Aris. Seems to have many different, many sections which are extremely similar to another Sefer called the Chesed L'Avraham. Now, the Chesed L'Avraham, I'm sure most of you probably have heard of the Chidah. Chidah was probably one of the most prolific authors that lived about 250 years ago. And the Chidah's great-great-grandfather was Rabbi Avraham Azulai, who I'm not sure exactly whether it was Spain originally and then Morocco. I'm not sure where he was living, but then he decided to travel to Eretz Yisrael, and there was a very interesting occurrence that the ship was wrecked in the middle of the ocean, and he davened to Hashem that if he makes it to Eretz Yisrael, he will write a sefer. And he wrote a sefer called Chesed L'Avraham, in which he talks about the many different rivers of how the waters flow and the background, basically. And out of gratitude towards Hashem, he wrote that sefer. Now, strangely enough, that sefer, Chesed L'Avraham, was not really published until maybe 150 years after he passed away, or maybe 100 years after he passed away. And it seems to be that Rav Nosson Shapiro met him around the year 1644 when Rav Nosson Shapiro first came to Eretz Yisrael. I think Rav Avraham Azulai passed away in 1645, if I'm not mistaken, or maybe even 44. And it seems to be that Rav Nosson Shapiro, when he went back to Chutz Lars to raise funds for the Yidden in Eretz Yisrael, he had brought manuscripts of Rav Avraham Azulai. And we're not sure if some of the sections of the Chesed L'Avraham were authored by Rav Avraham Azulai or originally teachings from the Arizal that he incorporated into his book, and Rav Nosson Shapiro also incorporated into his book. And the reason why I'm telling you this is because sometimes if anybody were to do some research, they'll see many similarities between the two books. Yeah, they met. There was a person from Italy named Rabbi David Conforti who did his own travelings, and he says that he came to Eretz Yisrael a couple times, and one of the times he met Rav Avraham Azulai, who was in Hebron at the time, and then he mentions that he met Rav Nosson Shapiro and some other students of the Arizal, or grand students of the Arizal, second generation, that were studying his teachings in the Beis Medrash. And it seems to be that Rav Avraham Azulai may have entrusted Rav Nosson Shapiro with some of his manuscripts. The Arizal also entrusted Rav Avraham Azulai with some of his manuscripts, and hence the kind of transference of the writings. Of course, there's a very famous legend about Rav Avraham Azulai that being that next week's parsha, we're going to hear about the death of Sari Menon being buried in Ma'aseh Machpelah. So the burial in Ma'aseh Machpelah, many people really want to know what's really down there in Ma'aseh Machpelah. And for the last person we know of stature to have gone down there, maybe there might have been somebody since, but at least the last that I know of with any real Masara was Rav Avraham Azulai. Supposedly the story goes the Sultan was passing by there on his high horse, and the horse heaved and hoed, and the king's diamond jewel studded sword fell into the Ma'aseh Machpelah, and they send in people to get the sword, and nobody was able to come out. People went in, so then they send little children in, and the children didn't come out, and they send people in with ropes around their feet, and they didn't come out, so they pulled them out, until finally one of the brilliant Arabs said, well, why don't we send one of the Jews in? And none of the Jews wanted to go in either, because it's like going to the somewhat of a Kodesh HaKadoshim aspect. And so Rav Avraham Azulai was already older, and he said that he volunteered to go in. And he went in, and the story has it that when he got to the entrance to the gate where the kfarim were, supposedly Eliezer, the servant of Avram, said, you can't go here. And he said, but I need to get the sword, so he gave him the sword, and whatever. That's the legend. I'm not sure, you know, again, that's a Masora that I heard. Okay, let's get back to something a little bit more serious. I like stories, though. Okay, so we're learning about the Milas of Eretz Yisrael La'asid Lavo. And before we get into the La'asid Lavo part, he starts out with a little preface that says, Da, we should know, Ki kol chelek vechelek min ha'aretz, every portion of land of the whole entire globe, Natan la'uma misyachazel al-chelek ahu. Each nation was given the portion that is related to it. It was best suited for that nation. For the children of Lot, I have given the country of Ar as their inheritance. And this verse implies that Bnei Lot, that's the best place for them to be. So Esav got Har Seir, and of course we know that Esav was called Seir when he was born. V'chein Perish Rizal, who Adom V'Artso Aduma, and not only that, but he was reddish, ruddy, and so his land is ruddy. The soil, I guess the soil there is more copper-rich, you know, the reddish soil. And Morasha Mamash Yachas Ha'aretz Hi Lifi Ha'uma Ha'Shechunah Ba. It, literally speaking, that the land is mamish made most appropriate and most befitting for each nation that lives in it. Now, again, we might ask a question. We know that was it Sancheriv or whoever it was that took all the nations and displaced them. That probably did create a bit of a problem. I can't answer that, but originally at the outset, that's the way it was supposed to be. And just like the Jews were exiled from their land, but it's still nonetheless, even though we could survive in different places, but at least spiritually, this is the place that's most fitted for us. Not only the physically are we connected to the land, but spiritually speaking as well. That especially when there's a, the souls, there's a, this concept of klipa is a very difficult concept to explain. They say for everything of holiness, there's something unholy that's trying to attach itself to that. And it's just like a fruit, and there's the shell on the outside, so we usually think of the shell as protective, which is true, but it's protecting it from the birds and the bees and all the other kind of insects that want to come and worms and eat it up. But that means, that's implying that something needs to be protected from, because other things want to get to the fruit that's inside of it. So, to everything good, just like the Jewish people, the land of Israel, there are many opposing forces that want to latch onto it. And Rav Nassim Shapiro says that we have to see that there's three types of correlations that a country has, especially Jewish people, to have Eretz Yisrael. So number one is Yachas Ha'uma, Yachas Ha'aretz, Yachas Ha'sar, B'neshamos, U'v'Hashkacha. Okay, that there's the relationship of the nation, what type of people they are, the physical properties of the land, and the ministering angel and the aspect of soul and spirituality and the providence, divine providence that is therein. Now he comes and quotes the pasuk, and Zeh sod lishmorcha mi'isha zara. This is done, the lands and the nations were set up the way they were in order to protect us from an isha zara minachriya, to protect us from a foreign woman, from a strange woman. And the words He says that Osios Azma Sar Haaretz. He takes the words Meisha Zara and he does a little word jumble and says that that's the. I can't really get into the depth of that, but he's trying to explain that the potential for the person, the people in Eretz Yisrael, are to be attacked by these foreign powers that we need to be protected from. I'll leave it at that for now. Shekol hadar bechutz laaretz, for if anybody were to live in chutz laaretz, this is quoting the Gemara in Ketuvos, that says ki'ilu ovid avodah zara. Anybody who lives outside of Eretz Yisrael is as if they serve idol worship. Again, it's as if. We don't want to look at anybody in a derogatory way. K'moshe nevar l'kamen, as will be explained later. V'chein inyan zeh mamash li'Yisrael be'eretz Yisrael. So too, this idea of the surrounding nations trying to get in applies specifically for the Jewish people in Eretz Yisrael and their soul, v'nishmasam v'torasam v'elokeim. Their soul, their Torah, and their God. Ki Eretz Yisrael hu afar kodesh. Afar kadosh. The very land of Eretz Yisrael is really a holy land. I don't know if you've seen any of these pictures from the 50s where they see the Jews landing in Eretz Yisrael and then getting bowing down, kissing the floor, because that's the reality. It used to be nice up till, 10 years ago when you always had to walk down the stairs to the land. Now we just kind of go into this airport and we lose out on that opportunity. They want to be like every other nation and not see us as being special.
In 2006, we arrived at Terminal 1, not at Terminal 3.
Oh, really?
And there were a lot of people who went down to kiss the soil, kiss the tarmac.
Wow.
So, yeah, because they processed us in a warehouse where Ariel Sharon gave us a speech. Had we known that he closed the Gaza, that they probably would have gotten that more.
Wow.
Anyway.
Wow. No. He's not saying much anymore. Right? Okay. So the land is holy. The Am Ayoshevba, Am Kadosh, and the nation that lives in there is a holy nation. That's us. V'nishmatam Kadosha, and our neshamas are holy. V'toratam Kadosha, and our Bible, our code of life is holy. V'Eloheim Kadosh, and our God is holy. V'asar Shel Yisrael. Now he is the ministering power over the Jewish people and the land of Israel. Veloze bilbad ela kamosha Eretz Yisrael ein la yichus berov mitzvaseh im sharm artzos. So not only this, but just like Eretz Yisrael has no real connection because of its vast amount of mitzvahs that are different from any other land. You don't have Shemitah and Orla, in other lands. Kach ein la yichus bein haTorah im shar haTorahs. And so it's too, the Torah that is learned and taught in Eretz Yisrael is much different on a much higher level than the Torahs that are, and the laws, asher l'umos olam, that are in the other nations.
That's incorrect about Orla.
Orla. There's a machlokas about Chadash, also different agricultural laws that are basically exclusive for Eretz Yisrael. Right. So we, I appreciate that. Especially when we have the ability to be mashkiach on it. And therefore the Torah gives us a commandment, and do not do the abominations that you have seen and witnessed when you were in Chutz Laaretz. For those ways of serving God, that type of Torah and religion is abominable. Ki et kol ha-toivot ze'ela, all these abominations, we have, God has kicked out of the land before you came in. Lo taki ha'aretz asher ka, and the other pasuk that says, and this way, you will not be spat out of the land as the land had spat out the previous dwellers there who were doing avodah zarah. Okay, so Hinesha Torah goes to the Eretz Yisrael Yeshlem Yachas Yachas. So we see clearly that Torah and the land of Israel, their holiness, have a special relationship. Chen Yeshli Yisrael Yachas Imaharetz B'li Safek. And so too the Jewish people as a nation have a special connection to the land without any doubt. And that's also the Yachas Shal Neshama, and that's the spiritual connection. Haraya Miyecheskel. And we see this proof from Yecheskel Navi, Chilek Eretz Yisrael L'Yud Beis Shvatim, that he divided Eretz Yisrael into the 12 tribes. That was in his days. V'yiches kol shevet v'shevet b'gvul echad, and he corresponded each nation with the portion, the parcel of land in its boundaries. V'fi yachash shevet ken mishkano, and according to the specialness of each tribe, it was given their dwelling place. And that would be the best place for that soul of that Shevet, has a unique type of soul, where that divine influence would come down from up above into the physical land. So Yecheskel was able to determine where that Shevet should be situated. The inyan shel shleimus haneshama b'chelkam la'aretz. And therefore, it also in regards to that the completion of their soul is according to its portion in the land. And the land is only filled and completed depending on the amount of souls that come to it. Negdiyitz el mitziusa. And in correspondence to each other. So we see from here a very interesting thing, that it seems to be that if parts of Eretz Yisrael are not settled, so that those parts of Eretz Yisrael are lacking, and in its own completion and its own purpose and fulfillment of the land as a whole, and also the people that should be living there that aren't living there, they're also lacking something. And it seems to be, I know certain people that friends of ours who came to Eretz Yisrael, and they decided to settle in Netanya. Netanya, a big rav. I didn't understand why, but he felt connected to Netanya. You know, I'd imagine he'd want to be, he survived the Holocaust, I imagine he would want to be in Yerushalayim. Somehow or other, he felt that that's what was his calling, and he used to go to the Tanz, you know, community there, and... He didn't say enough people, but he says shleimus haaretz, the fullness or fulfillment of the land and its being given its proper, I don't want to say nourishment and strength, or what it needs to be, what it has to be, is dependent b'chelak haneshamas amegi aleha, dependent on the portion of the souls that arrive there. That.
I was going to say, is there something about when Mashiach comes that he's going to relocate people to the right areas?
That's a scary thing if you worked so hard and bought your house. Okay, you belong in Be'er Sheva.
I think it's a machlokes that altogether we're not, whether all the tribes were reconstituted or whether or not they won't. And although we don't know everybody who they're from, but the road it's Buddha and Yamin and Levi. So, how does this relate to the whole thing? They know that from the second Mishnah on, we don't know
what
the
rest. And that might be why that our hold on the land might not be as strong as we would like it to be, maybe because of what you're saying. But we do know, on your question, that it says that Mashiach is going to come and he's going to use his sense of smell, because we know the sense of smell was never really tainted, and he therefore is able to smell a person and tell you which shevet you're from, and I guess how to congregate together with your shevet. Probably people will probably eventually make the adjustments, and you know.
Where is the source for this about smell?
I wish I was well versed enough to tell you that offhand, but I could look it up. And it has something, Vayirach, the Reach. I don't remember. There's a pasuk in the Navi that is basically indicating that's one of the functions that Mashiach is going to perform. So I'm not sure if. I think that'll be part of it.
Did you mention what happened with
converts? Well, every convert was at Har Sinai. And therefore, any soul that was at Har Sinai was really a Jewish soul all along. So that soul probably was in different shevet at a certain point in time, and for whatever reason had to come back into the world and go through that route to come back. And so I'm sure it has a place, right? And I think that every convert is allowed to say Elokeinu Elokei Avoseinu, and Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, and Elokei Yaakov, even though...
But what about the case, where a true case of a person like Shlomo Zimri had a son, and he was Jewish, born Jewish, and his father was Egyptian?
Shlomo Zimri?
Yeah.
So there can
be people who have Jewish mothers and non-Jewish fathers who don't have a shevet because of that.
So that's exactly what the...
So they're scared, so what happens to them?
So, and we know that was a big problem. That was why the Mitzri, who the Torah calls him a Mitzri, that's why he cursed Hashem, because before the Torah was actually given, the religion went after the father as well. And only after the Torah was given did we shift it to the mother. So, I'm not so sure if anybody was really... So that kind of corresponds to the juncture of time of Matan Torah, where the Neshamas were there. So anybody who had the problem beforehand probably wouldn't have been those type of souls, because Mount Sinai hadn't happened yet. You know, so.
I know there also be daughters of several people who inherited...
Father is Jewish and mother is not.
Father's not Jewish.
Right.
Mother is Jewish. They're born Jewish.
Right.
Jews
the again. I'm sure that they will have a shevet. I'm sure that Mashiach will know where their root soul originally stems from. Again, a lot of the times my students ask me, Rabbi, when Tchias Mason happens, I mean, I've been in this world at least 3 or 4 times, probably. Which body am I going to come back in? So I don't think it's really much of a problem, because just like husband and wife are really part of one soul, Kiner Hashem Nishmat Adam, the candle of God is the soul of a person, that soul is compared to a candle, and just like you have one candle to light millions of candles, it doesn't take anything away from the first candle. A soul could, split and meiosis. One of those things, you know. I once took biology. So, one of these processes
meiosis.
Where...
Mitosis is splitting with the same
right.
amount of genetic
okay.
complement in each. Meiosis, you divide the genetic complement in half.
Okay, so then it's mitosis then. Okay, I knew it was one of those. Okay, so, see, once I graduated college, I don't need to remember anything anymore, so it doesn't matter. I have the documents. Okay, so, but that's the idea, is that neshama could split into thousands. The Arizal in Shari Gilgulim gives a description to... how neshamas kind of relate to each other. Sometimes you'll meet somebody and you'll feel you knew them for eternity. And it's really true that you did know them for eternity, because your root souls are really together. And he gives a description how, if you look on a feather from, let's say, a large bird, that there's a spine of the feather, and there's little feathers on one side and larger feathers on the other side, and those are all, that one spine is like the root soul, and all the smaller feathers that are attached to the big feather are all different revelations that soul might have to go through, or different aspects and different people. And so therefore, just like the souls could be split up and inhabit different bodies, so too in Tchias HaMeisim, they'll probably all come back. And I don't know if they'll, daven in the same shul together, or they might have some fights. Why'd you make me come back to the world again, or whatever? I don't know. That's true.
Should these people who are coming back from Tchias HaMeisim would already be in such a state? And if that's the case, then their bodies won't look like anything they've had before in any case. They will take on the body that they were intended to have.
Right.
whatever.
Right. If you
recall, not recognize each other through their bodies, but rather through spiritual. Their souls. Which
absolutely.
Is their essence, and we will see each other's essences, as opposed to the.
Right. We mentioned that when I spoke about the ability to fly that we will have in the future. So there is a mentioning that the people who are going to be brought back from Tchias HaMesim will also be metamorphosized into the type of creatures that will be able to fly. So obviously there will be a difference in body in Tchias HaMesim. But it seems to be that there's many different stages of Tchias HaMesim, and you mentioned that we're going to reconnect to Adam HaRishon. I once saw a medrash, if I'm not mistaken, it was quoted in the Yalkut Reuveni. I don't remember who he was quoting. If I'm not mistaken, there's a certain, for the way I understood it, again, this should not be taken with full force as an absolute, but it seems to be that the amount of neshamas that are going to be at the time of Tchias HaMesim, apparently either the body or the souls are going to regroup and become the meld into one, little by little, from 600,000 to 60,000 to 6,000 to 600 to 60 to 6, 7, or whatever it is, until it's one. And we're all going to be part of this one body of Adam HaRishon, who Adam HaRishon incorporated within him every soul that will ever exist. So it makes sense on a metaphysical way. I don't know how it will work out physically, if we'll all really recognize that we're this one little like molecule on the body of Adam HaRishon. Maybe that's how it's going to be, and we'll all be happy to work in harmony being part of that one big body. Maybe. But a lot of things I don't know about.
It's not going to happen.
Right, it's definitely. Right, right. It's not that. That much I'm quite sure of as well. Okay, va'inyan or ha'inyan kigam nekudas tzion asher hi nekudah shemimena hushtas ha'olam kanoda hi mitechesed el shechina. And it's known, and this idea here is that also the place of tzion, he calls nekudas tzion, the point of Zion, asher hi nekudah shemimena hushtas ha'olam, that is the point from which the entire world was developed from. That is corresponds the most to the Shechina, and that's basically a quote from the Zohar. And that the Nekuda Tzion is basically more appropriately called the Eben Hashishia, the Rock of Foundation, which is of course the inner sanctum of where the Aron HaKodesh was placed on in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and in the second Beis HaMikdash they didn't have the Aron HaKodesh, but they still had the rock. Now, it's not clear if the rock is the rock on the top there, or it's probably much deeper down. Seemingly there is.
Isn't the rock
from the middle of the rock? Right. Well, it might not be that rock. Mm-hmm. According to some opinions, we see a certain rock appearing in different places. We see the Yaakov Avinu, the Har HaMoria, where Avraham Avinu took Yitzchak to sacrifice him at the place of the Akedah, is there the place of the Beis HaMikdash where was to be, and so that seems to be that Eben HaShishia, and of course the Arabs like to take that idea from us as well, but change the names a little bit. And Yaakov Avinu, when he went to rest, it says Vayikach me'avnei ha'makom, and he took from the stones of the place, and then it says when he woke up in the morning, and that he lifted up as Evan, he lifted up the stone, and of course that's how all the stones, the 12 stones, are fighting, who's going to be under the tzaddik's head, and it all came up as one stone, but really it was meant to be all along, because that stone was really the rock of formation that Hashem, of course, had arranged for Yaakov so conveniently to find, and maybe it was separated and brought back together. Yaakov Avinu, of course, had 12 tribes, and they all had to be unified, and he unified them, and also the idea, and there are many different Kabbalistic ideas of the number 12 of the 12 alachsonim, of their correlationship with the different spheres and the letters, which I guess we'd have to learn some safety. It's here to kind of really get lost in that. I mean, clarify it, of course. But the number 12 signifies that as well. And then we see a stone that when Yaakov, of course, goes to find his wife, and he goes to Lavan, and he sees all these guys hanging out by the well. With it says the ha'evan gedola al pi abir, the ha'evan gedola. It should be the evan hagdola, and the big stone instead of the stone which is big was on the. In Hebrew, it seems to be a little bit of a unique way of terming it, and some people want to say that that stone. Of course, there's a Zohar that corresponds to stone being having to move off, to corresponding to Mashiach coming. But Yaakov, of course, is able to move the stone with a lot of ease. And of course, that stone seemed to appear in different places, and it doesn't have the same physical properties as most stones that we walk upon journeys here in Eretz Yisrael. So, but this Nekuda Tzion, from which the world was formed, that of course is the most, could be the, as some of the philosophers have called it, the hiyuli, the first primordial matter that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, and that is that stone. Right? And it says, Besod Yud Beis Gvuleha Mispashtim in Akuda Emtzais, and of course this corresponds to the 12 different boundaries that spread out from that point of, that's a center focal point of Eretz Yisrael. And I guess that also corresponds to the 12 tribes of Yaakov. Finally, so midas haaretz kaniska haniska the sefer Yecheskel should be the mikdash betocho, and of course the base of mikdash is in the midst of the center point of all of this. V'Yisrael achosim tachas shulei kanfeha, and the Jewish people kind of take shelter under the wings of the Hanifresus Melavach of Arts, of course, Kaviyachol, the heavenly wings that are spread out protecting the whole land of Eretz Yisrael. V'chein gamken kemosha Shechina eina b'shleimus, this is a big thing. And just like the Shechina, so too, in other words, just like the land isn't filled unless the people are there, so too it seems to be Kaviyachol, of course, Shechina eina b'shleimus. Hashem's Shechina seems to be not complete, but Ocha Makom Beis Hamikdash Eina B'Shleimus Al Mechona, where the place of the Beis Hamikdash is not complete the way it's supposed to be have been established, and that is the clearest proof of all that nobody should ever delude themselves to think that we're no longer in Golus. I mean, it's so clear the fact that whoever decided, and for whatever reason we think. We decided, Hashem decided it, that we are not ready yet to have the Makom HaMikdash. We don't deserve it yet. But He wanted to give us access to the land of Israel. He wanted us to get the hint, to maybe get us, you know, more excited about Eretz Yisrael, more excited about Hashem having Eretz Yisrael. One of the things we pray for, sometimes when we're younger, we pray for ourselves and what. And then we get a little older, we like pray for our friends and family, and then we pray for the nation. And then at a certain point in time, we got to pray for Hashem. And that is definitely something that I think He wants to hear from us, that we yearn for Him as well. In any relationship, I mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls us His children, He calls us a sister sometimes, He calls us a spouse. And of course, a relationship with a spouse, so we better be worrying about our spouse. And that should be a predominant focus of our prayers. Ken gam ken ashrina ena b'shleimus kasher eis Yisrael ena b'shleimus. Just not only by the makom amigdash, but the shrina is not complete, Yavion Kav Yachol, when Eretz Yisrael is not complete, and its boundaries. Shehu minachal mitzrayim, which is from the river of Egypt. We don't know exactly what he means here. Va'ad ha'nahar gadol nahar pras. Right, so that's all the way up to the Euphrates. We're very far from that right now. The Yisrael Shochnim Kol Echad Ve'Echad Bechelek HaMagia Lo Kefi Goralo HaAmiti. And that will only also be completed when each and every Jew is in the appropriate parcel of land that is coming to him according to his true destiny, that really corresponds to its boundary, his boundary, as is known. Ten lands Hashem promised Avram, Latet Lazaro, Keneged Midas and Malchus, and Mekanenes Basia. And that corresponds to the sphere of Malchus, which is, of course, I guess in one aspect is seen to be the lowest of the spheres. Doesn't necessarily mean on a low level, but it's the bottom of the spheres. Hamekanenet Basia, which is kind of wailing or moaning or crying, from the lesson of Kinos, we say in Tisha B'Av. In the realm of Asiya, she kula masa. Of course, the world of Asiya has its own ten spheres as well, and the physical land of Eretz Yisrael corresponds to the malchus of Asiya. Ubimei Moshe lo hifticham al yado ela al zayin aratzos. In the times of Moshe, Hashem only really promised Moshe the seven lands, shel sheva mamim bilvad, the seven nations alone, shehem keneged seven spheres of tachtonos that are corresponding to the lower seven spheres. But the other three nations, the land of those three nations that Hashem had promised Abraham, Shem Keneged Shalosh Spheres El Yonesh Lohiv Ticham, that correspond to the upper three spheres of Chachma Bina and Das, or Keser Chachma Bina, Hashem did not promise to the Jewish people in the times of Moshe. Lefi Shebizman Haseh Einam Poalim El Hatachtoni. Because at our time, I guess what is only really actively affecting our lives right now is the world of action. And we gotta use the lower seven spheres, which correspond to those midos of Chesed, Gvur, Tiferes, Netzach, Hod, Yisod, and Malchus, to really implement a major change. Yes?
I thought that after the second Beit HaMikdash, those areas that weren't Mukdash by
Olei Mitzrayim.
Not necessarily the same level of Kedusha anymore, and not, we don't necessarily, I can bring the word as my husband's word, that we may not have as much of a hold. We have a hold in Kibush, but we may not have as much of a hold Kedusha on the other, other realm of
spiritual.
Yeah.
It wasn't sanctified. I know you mentioned that last class also, I think that...
sorry.
Yeah, no. It's
so
very, very perfect. So I think that also... I think that, how does it relate to this? I think that, I'm not 100% sure, but I guess conjecture, I would say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to let us know that there are certain, that even in the time, in the second Beis HaMikdash, in the time of the Olei Bavel, that we were lacking tremendous things. We were lacking the Shekhinah and the Beis HaMikdash. We're a lot lacking. It was not, didn't have the power of the first time as well. So therefore, our ability to sanctify things, even though certain things that were sanctified did work, but it was probably most dependent on, you know, some other factors that they didn't have access to at that time. And it will only really be finalized when Mashiach comes and is able to reconnect the upper three spheres that correspond to the Kini, Knezi, and Kadmoni. To reattach, again, like we say, that those three, if you look at spheros, and you know, we don't want to really make things physical in the spiritual realm, but we, in order to relate to them, we kind of correspond them. That Chesed, Gvur, Tiferes, the lower seven, is the right arm, the left arm, the torso, the legs, etc. That is the lower seven spheres, and that's something you could see intangibly. Kind of connect to, but the Chachma Bina Das, or the Keser Chachma Bina, are more the intellectual aspects, which are less tangible, and less easy to truly understand, and the only way you could really do that is through the function of Das, which would connect what's in the head and what's in the non-tangible to kind of put it into the actual and actualize it. And there's a lot of Hasidim that don't wear ties because they don't want to have any disconnect from the head to the body, you know. Yeah, that's not a, they don't want to. They want to keep the channels open. As a matter of fact, on Pesach, part of what we're doing is the Maharal and many and the Arizal discussed that part of the galus in Mitzrayim was what was called the galus hadas. The Jewish people in Egypt were lacking das, and that's why they were the slavery was so intense that they really couldn't connect anything. There was no connection going on. They were just working and. Okay, they cried a little bit, but you know, it didn't translate into anything, and that's why we drink four cups and we eat the matzah, we eat the chrein and the chrosas, and you know, all the things are eating, and that's opening up the channels and purifying the channels from the neck, the throat, and everything that's going in is kind of being reestablished in the proper way. Yes, I'm sorry.
No, but we were also saying that. In the second base of English, not everybody came back.
Oh, right, that's
so
awesome.
Again, that's we're lacking that balance at the beginning.
Thank you.
The whole land.
That might also, yeah.
That
sounds
good.
Just
to make sure that everybody was there.
Oh, thank you. That's good. That's good. Thank you. I think that could be much easier. Okay, so. Where were we? About Achar HaGeula Achrona. But at in the final redemption, Shifal Gimel HaYonos, when Akash Baruch Hu will put into action and connect the upper three spheres, Az Yutan Lahem Kol HaEsrot, then will be granted all 10 lands. Vihine, okay, Noda is known. Ki Azayin Anamin, these seven nations, Hem Remuzim Bezer V'Nukfei D'Klit Znoga. Okay, now, okay. I forgot that we have some of these pieces here, that the seven nations that kind of were dwelling in Eretz Yisrael at the time, they correspond to the seven lower spheres of the opposite world of holiness. Right? We know that there's a system of spheres and everything in the holy world. And in the negative world, there's the same as well. There's a parallel world. Zelu maza asa Hashem Elokim. One opposite the other, Hashem is created. And whenever people have more power in holiness, there's also more power in Tumah. That's why you see at the time when Nevuah stopped, also sorcery basically stopped. So we see that there's a correspondence, and of course the Gemara relates certain situations where a great rabbi who was always defending the Jewish people was on his deathbed, and they said, Rebbe, what's going to be with us when you're here? Who's going to defend us? And he said, well, there's a correspondence. You know, according to the level of the holiness is the level of Tumah. If there's not enough in the holiness, then the Tumah is not going to have the same power as well. So in Eretz Yisrael as well, the nations that were dwelling in Eretz Yisrael before we came and took it from them, rightfully took it from them, they corresponded to the partsufim of Zerantin and Nukva of the Klipas Noga. Okay, now that's, I don't know how to really translate that other than saying that there is a holy version of these things. You probably heard when they're seeing these mirrors of Shalashuddha's, you know, Atika Kadisha of Zerantin, you know, these concepts are really from the Arizal, and people sing nice songs about them, but we don't really know what we're talking about. But that is a very heavy revelation of Kedusha that Hashem is revealing in the way of holiness. And there has to be a negating possibility as well on the other side. So the nations that were living in Eretz Yisrael, they were the exact opposite. That's why they were so steeped in Avodah Zarah. And that's why one of the main functions that we had to do when we conquered the land was to uproot and diminish and destroy and get rid of the Avodah Zarah there, because that's the exact opposite of the holiness that we represent. So that's the part of the, you know, inverse correlation. Ki Zer hu Shisha Ktzavos, because Zeranfin itself really corresponds to the Shisha Ktzavos, which are the six of the bottom seven spheres of the Malchus. V'nukva he's Shvius Lehem, and the Nukva is of course the Malchus, which is the seventh to them. L'chen near Lanias Daiti, and therefore it seems to be, in my opinion, this is Rav Nosson Shapiro speaking, until now he's basically quoting Arizal, and now he's injecting his own thing. The first letters of the seven nations that were living in Eretz Yisrael at the time, which is Knani, Echiti, Amori, Pizi, Achivi, Vusi, Vigrashi, the gematria of those all together is Samech Mem Aleph Lamed, which we know is the name of the Tahara, Malach HaMavis, and the Satan. He wears three hats. You know, sometimes he's the judge, or the prosecutor, sometimes he's the Grim Reaper. Borrow a term, of course, and sometimes he's just our evil inclination. And so those three, he's just pointing out how they really correspond to the exact opposite. You know, the Satan, the Malchamavas, is our arch enemy, Yetzihara. And he was the angel of Esav, you know, our biggest nemesis. Shehu Zer de Klipas Noga. That is the Zer Anpin of Klipas Noga. The Eretz Knan. And the words of Eretz Canaan is Gematria Lamed Yud, which is of course the wife of Samech Mem. Right? He's got his Rebbetzin Lahavdil, right?
What does that mean?
That just like there's a, we talk about how in the realm of holiness there's a male revelation of godliness and there's a female revelation of godliness. So that's in the side of holiness. And the side of Tumah, you have a male revelation of Tumah and a female revelation of Tumah. And they call the male arch, you know, villain is Sam, Samech Mem, and his wife is Lamed Yud. And Mibnei Shehi Mikabelas Mikol Shehi Zekhtavos Tetucha, because she kind of is the receptacle of her husband, and so therefore she's more closely related to the land as well. And that's why the land, Eretz Knan, is the gematria of her name. The gam Knani Chiti Amori Prizi Chivi Yivusi Yoshi Im Klolos Eser Amamim Gematria Eretz Knan. And I did not work that out exactly how he has in here how it works out that really corresponds to the gematria of something. I'm trying to. I don't know if you want to see that inside, or I should spell it out for you. Do you want that?
These were people, though.
The nations.
Is it that they absorbed these qualities of the Yetzirah, so they became one for it? Because obviously they have the Chira, so they didn't have to be like that.
I would say that in a certain aspect that they... It's what came first, you know. Were they evil, and therefore they... made the land unholy, or were they okay and then they got there and the land defiled them? So I'm not sure exactly how it works, but it seems to be that it's pretty clear that they were definitely a physical representation of that evil. Right, he says that they all have the same. That he takes not every letter, but he takes the klolos of the Esher Amen with the Kini Knesi and Kadmoni, and the other 131, and all comes out to be 480. I don't remember how he gets that exactly, and with the klolos of the. It's a way of doing gematria with a kolel. It makes things a lot easier, convenient if you're off by one or something, that you know you can stick in one for each word, and that's how he gets it to work. And he also says, but the other way of looking at it is that it corresponds to Eretz Canaan with the letters of Bosius Nun Tzadi of Mantzapach. If you take the gematria of all those words, Knani, Chiti, Amori, Prizi, Chivi, Yusi, Gugoshi, and you add it all up, they have the same value of Eretz Canaan when you take the Tzadi of Eretz and the Nun of Canaan, the second Nun of Canaan, which are end letters. I don't know if everybody knows the different codes of gematria. We all know Aleph is 1, Beis is 2, and until you get to Tav is 400. But there's 5 letters which are known as the Mantzapach Sufim, where they are the end letters. That according to some opinions, that they have a different gematria. Instead of Mem being 40, there's different ways of setting it up. I'll set it up I'll set it up the way that probably the Chaf would be first. The Chaf would be 500 instead of 20. Mem Sofit would be 600. Nun Sofit would be 700. Pei Sofit would be 800. And Tzadi Sofit would be 900. And a lot of people say, and then Aleph or Abasi, sometimes in the Torah you'll see a big Aleph or in the Nevi'im, that corresponds as a value of 1,000. And then you could play lots of gematria games with that and it will all work out. So, Lahora Shehi Malchus de Klipa. So, the Eretz Canaan and its gematria with those Mantapach, those Nun and Tzadi being with their magnified value. Shows us that it really corresponds to the entirety of the klipas. V'hi kololos mina esra sfiras of the klipas noga, and it corresponds to the completion or the entirety of the 10 spheres of the negative side. Avala malchus the kedusha, but the land of the malchus of holiness nikras eretz haknani instead of eretz knan, and taking eretz knan and calling it Haknani, you kind of sandwiching the Knan with a Hey and a Yud, or Yud and a Hey, which is a representation of Hashem, of holiness, that kind of takes it away from its Tumah and reclaims it for holiness. Kemosha Amar Apostle, Vayaki Aviacha Hashem El Eretz Haknani, when Hashem will bring you to the land of the Haknani, and that's the when the holiness takes it over. Now, there is now, he says, again, I'm not sure if I mentioned it last time, but when Rav Nosson Shapira was traveling Italy to raise the funds, he had met up with Rav Moshe Zakuta, who was one of the chief rabbis in Venice at the time, in Italy, and he got a haskama for two va'aretz from Rav Moshe Zakuta, and not only did Rav Moshe Zakuta, was he enthralled with the brilliance of the Sefer, but he also said that he has some things he'd like to add in, and Rav Nosson Shapira took those additions and incorporated in the book. So therefore this next part is Shamati Mechachem HaShalem, I heard from the complete wise person Moreno HaRav Rav Moshe Zechuta Narosha Eretz HaKnani Gematria Malchus. The word Eretz HaKnani also comes out to be Malchus, right, which is 496. So that would also be with the, we know if it was Eretz Knan was the Lamed Yud, so Eretz HaKnani is Malchus, the Gematria Malchus of holiness. Mipnation is Chaber Ima Yud K Besod Amarti Lo Eret Yud K BeEretz Achaim. Right, I thought I might not see Hashem in the land of the living. And of course, Eretz Achaim is another way of talking about Eretz Yisrael. Chen Yud Hey B'Milui Miluo Kaze Yud Vav Dalad Hey Hey. When you take Yud K and you spell out Yud, which is Yud Vav Dalad, but you spell Milui Miluo, you spell Yud Vav Dalad and Yud of the Yud Vav Dalad and the Vav and the Dalad, it all gets spelled out, and also the gematria of that is Malchus. Right, and the Eretz HaKnani, and of course Eretz HaKnani, with the hay and the yud there. Shekol kocham hi mishem yud kei besod Hashem bechachma yisad aretz. All the power of the land is from Hashem, from the pasuk that says Hashem yud kei vav kei bechachma yisad aretz. With its wisdom has founded the land. Lechem, and therefore, avir shalom machkim, the very air of Eretz Yisrael, wisens a person. That's also a Gemara in Bava Basra. Disgale ba or yud. The word avir corresponds to it could be split up into the word or yud, the light of yud. Vina yud, if you take the letter yud and spell it yud vav dalad and yud vav dalad vav vav dalad, like that, hare malchus, that of course also adds up to malchus. Fasodo, and the secret about this is mashkazu v'sefer zohar, which is written in Zohar. Excuse me, Abba Yesod Barta, that the father is the Yesod, the foundation of his daughter. Now, I'm not sure exactly, quite often we see that in an emotional sense, that a father and daughter, a father, if he gives proper attention and values his daughter properly and treats her properly, it really makes a world of a difference in a daughter's ability to, you know herself and feel confident. So that we're not talking about parenting now, but I guess there's a certain aspect of that as well. And of course, here he's talking about Abba as also one of the parts. Sufim in Kabbalah is called Abba, and Barta would be the Nukva, the Malchus, which would be the physical land of Eretz Israel as well. And just that's probably what he means. Vaz ihi Eretz Israel, Israel Saba. And then the land of Israel is boosted up to the level of Yisrael Saba, which is another way of saying the Partzuf, which corresponds to Chachma. Okay, and this is again some Kabbalistic things that I think are way beyond me, so please forgive me for not being able to explain it. The Kolelos Eser Dargin L'Kabbal Eser Amamin D'inin Kezer Chachma Bina, and that's a God Gdula Gvura Tiferes Netzach Hodisod HaOlim Yisrael. And therefore, the 10 levels that of holiness correspond to the 10 other opposite nations. And those 10, of course, you take the Rosh Tevas of the spheres themselves, of Keser Chachma Bina, Gdula Gvura Tiferes Netzach Hodisod Malchus, and you take the Rosh Tevas, and then the Gematria comes out to be Yisrael. So that means Yisrael has that value and power to negate all the kochos of those other nations which inherited these lands. Okay, Dimitaman is Kadishas Be'eser Kadushas. And that's a quote from the Gemara in Maseches Kelim. And from there, it was sanctified with 10 levels of holiness. Eretz Yisrael has 10 levels of holiness. As a matter of fact, the second half of Tuv Haaretz is Rav Nachman Shapiro's explanation of the Mishnayos and Maseches Kelim in the first parak from Mishnah Vav through a couple of Mishnayos, and it tells that the land of Israel was sanctified with 10 different levels of holiness, and he goes into major depths of explaining how that works, and that's almost all straight of Kabbalah, so I'm not really I never translated that, so maybe one day we'll be zocha to understand it. V'hayodea madregas Cham ben Noach, and it's known the level of Cham, the son of Noach, Shaleh Nemar Kol Hayom Dava, about the Noach's son Cham. The pasuk says all day long was mourning. That's from Eicha. That corresponds to the Cham, the son of Noach. So Yismach v'yavin ki nepach Lehod v'hadar. So the negative aspects of some of the seven nations that had been in Eretz Yisrael, because who was Canaan from? Canaan was a son of Cham. And since Cham is mourning and darkness, so when Eretz Yisrael came in and captured Eretz Yisrael back from the descendants of Cham, so instead of Dava, which is mourning and bitterness, it became Hod, splendor and beauty. Peres ki bihiglos karnei Hod diyu yudke. He now explains it in the Kabbalistic way, that when the rays of Hod, which are were revealed, which correspond to the letters Yud and He, on the land of Canaan, which was in the state of mourning and despair, then it was sanctified when the Jewish people, with the power of Hashem Yudke, came in and reclaimed it. Open up for me the gates of righteousness, let me come inside, and I will give thanks to Yudke. Odeka, not Yudke, Vavke, but just even the part of Hashem's name, Yudke, is which modified Eretz Canaan into Eretz Haknani, that gave us the power to now reclaim it and sanctify it. Lachen David shehu besod ihu behod. David also, who corresponds to the level hod, chiber kufnun hodaos. He wrote 150 psalms of thanksgiving. Eser pam yud kei, which is 10 times the letters of yud and hey. Yud is 10 and hey is 5, 15. 10 times 15 is 150. Uba chasam svaro. And that's how he finished the sefer. Val kol anisker bekan duk v'timsa shenikra Eretz Yisrael v'shem Eretz HaKanani. And now we can understand very clear why we refer to Eretz Yisrael sometimes even as Eretz HaKanani. Rak be'ez gulas mitzrayim. That was at the time when the Jewish people came from Egypt. It was still called, instead of Eretz Canaan, it was Eretz HaKanani. And later on, it was called Eretz Yisrael. Az itmar azi v'zim reshka. My strength in the song of Yud Kei. Okay, and again, Yud Kei ad kan l'shan divrei pi chacham chein. Thus far, the words of the mouth of the charming wisdom of Ramosh Sakuta. Okay, back into... somebody should really give me a time. Alright, so we'll call it quits for now. Okay.
Okay. Did you say David is found to
Hode?
Perhaps, and you said that gave splendor to the land of Israel, but perhaps that's why he was so successful in the battles and
right.
Delivering
right,
the
land. That sounds good.
Delivering the land from its enemies.
Yeah. I like that. Okay. I mean, if anybody has any questions, if we have to leave, so we'll stop here. But if anybody has any questions, so.